Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
When you come in on Monday and you're not feeling real well, does anyone ever say to you, sounds like someone has a case of the Mondays?
No. No, man. Shit, no, man. I believe you get your ass kicked saying something like that, man.
Yes. That is in my head every Monday.
Is it really?
It is. Every Monday, man. No. No, no, man. Hell no.
Shit, no. It's the lean forward where it's like, yeah. Well, now we're talking some serious shit. Now I gotta lean from my, I'm out of my casual posture.
Diedrich.
I believe you get your ass kicked saying something like that. Anyway.
What a performance.
What a case of the Mondays for all.
That's a quote for, you know, if you're having a case of the Mondays, you know, that's something to keep in mind. Don't call it a case of the Mondays. You might get your ass kicked by Diedrich Bader and his crew. That is from Office Space. I almost called it Outer Space. I think I got a case of the Mondays. I'm Jack. That is Miles. This is the special Monday morning week trend trending episode. We'll tell you what we were up to and what happened over the weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. How are you, Miles?
I'm exhausted.
Yeah.
First of all, look, anybody has, I need sleep advice. I'm waking up like at fucking 2-3 and then like I can't go back.
That's not even a number, 2-3.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's how sleep deprived you are.
23 you just made o'clock, up a number. Jack, military time, 11 p.m.
Okay.
No, but like I'm doing this thing where like I fucking wake up and I can't, and I'm just laying there.
Yeah.
Like I cannot fall back asleep. And it's not really exhausting me because like I'm just like in semi-twilight for the next few hours. But gone are the days where I'm like asleep and then I wake up when I wake up.
Yeah.
It's like, so, and I'm doing the thing. I'm trying to stay hydrated before so I don't have to go to the bathroom. I'm trying everything.
Yeah.
Any other advice, y'all, please? I know other people have this kind of shit from time to time. It's not quite insomnia. It's just like interrupted sleep. It's not very helpful. Anyway,
have you tried waking up and trying to get a 2-3 hour workout in?
A
3 hour workout.
I'm about to try. I'm gonna try.
Oh shit.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're gonna get into some of the things that were happening this weekend. First, we're gonna tell you what we're up to by telling you a couple things that we think are underrated, overrated. Miles, what's something that you think is underrated?
Underrated fucking marionette shows.
Yes.
Okay. I saw.
I was hoping you would say this.
We took the Geistchild.
Yes.
Okay. Because this is everything is Geistchild's first everything. So it's Halloween. There's this local theater okay, that Angelenos know about. It's called the Bob Baker Marionette Theater. And it is like this puppet show company that's been around for like since like the 60s, I want to say. But they did a little performance, like a Halloween performance. All these kids come out and whatever, and they got all these Halloween themed puppets and shit. I was in the beginning, I'm like, yeah, man, I know all about puppets. What of it?
Yeah.
Fine. And okay, then I saw it and I'm like, this great shit is going so hard. Really? I cannot, dude, I just, you know what it is? It's the art of the puppeteering that is so captivating.
Yeah.
Cause it's not like, I'm like, oh yeah, that doesn't look like a person. That's clearly a marionette. It's more the, it's the ability to make it like shake its hips, like in a way that like, you're like, oh, this little puppet can dance, but it's the marionette. The puppeteer just having the fucking amazing fucking wrist strength, the wrist finesse to make it do all that. And like, I just love the idea that like these puppeteers are so skillful. You completely ignore the fact that a grown ass adult is standing right behind the fucking puppet manipulating it, that you're like, look at the puppet go.
That puppet, you know what is I mean? A great like, actor.
Yeah, exactly. And to that, I was like, you know what? I was sleeping on the marionettes. I was sleeping on the puppetry for too long. I'm no longer ignorant. All praise and respect to the puppeteers out there. But it was wild because like they had a lot of these numbers that they do with the puppets, right? Because they're not doing like the vocals for it. They're just playing a track and like dancing with it.
Yeah.
Or like these, you know how like we had like those like I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus, like these kinds of like sort of child facing songs that were like sort of comedic, like in tone.
Yeah.
From like the 60s and 70s. So there's like stuff like that. One was about like I'm dating the invisible man, and like this puppet was like, oh stop, you're tickling me, oh, don't touch me there, and be like, what? Later, and you're like, whoa, later, because like, this is all baked into the track from the 60s. And then like the invisible man came out like just sucking down cigarettes, and I'm like, okay, this is some old school shit, but I fucking love it. Another fucking song made reference to doing heroin.
Really?
But like it went, because it was talking about kids doing dope and shit. Stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, but like dope, not like weed. It felt like heroin esque. And everyone, like, but the kids just love it. I was looking around.
That
like,
good
this
60s
is okay.
Heroin, you know, like back then, yeah, exactly. Like you do a little bit of heroin, you go out to the movies, it was nothing.
Exactly. Yeah. Not brown. Yeah. You know, they were doing heroin.
You tried the heroin the kids are doing today? Oh, boy. Blech. Yeah.
But yeah, it was, but the fucking, again, I just love how I think like I really like when you go into something thinking like I know what the sensation is going to be for me as a participant or viewer, and it completely upends that. That's
blows
shit.
You away. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is like the, you know how you have to hear about a thing like five times for it to truly like stick in the world of marketing. I guess that's the thing. I think this is like the third or fourth time I've heard of the Bob Baker Marionette show. So
I think they got a Christmas one. Dude, they got a Christmas one coming up. Don't sleep on it. Because they have a whole light infrastructure in the theater. This was not done at the theater. They had like set up a stage like out in public so they could fit like a ton of kids in this like park area.
Yeah.
But yeah, the fucking, when it's in the theater, they have like real lighting cues and stuff. It's a whole other level.
Mm. Yeah. I figured like I've always assumed that I'm missing something on the marionette front, because like that was like John Cusack's character and being John Malkovich is like a marionette artist, and like it's treated with this reverence that didn't match up to my assumptions about marionette.
Yeah. So you, cause like you, I feel like there was this guy at City Walk, and I feel like this is kind of like a class. There's always like a marionette dude who's doing Jimi Hendrix, the marionette. Right. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like every person probably has a memory of someone seeing a marionette Jimi Hendrix like rip the Star Spangled Banner like solo.
Yeah.
You know, so like, and though, like, and I was captivated by that then, but even in adulthood, it's the puppets still
hits.
Yeah.
My underrated, let's see, Hunter Moon. Feel like I need another astrological makeup after shitting on the eclipse from a couple weeks ago. We went out. You know, the kids and parents, like my parents are in town, kids and parents get excited about this sort of shit, like a big moon. They're like, whoa, did you hear about the moon? My kids are also really excited that New Year's Eve day is going to be 1-2-3, 1-2-3. They're like,
oh shit,
think about that, dad. 1-2-3, 1-2-3, it's never gonna happen again. In the date, but anyways,
what's 1-2-3?
12, 31, 23. 1, 2, 3.
Oh,
1, 2, 3.
Fuck.
Yeah.
It's
mic shit. Check. It's International Mic Check Day.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm back.
So my kids are excited about that. They were excited about this Hunter Moon. This is supposed to be one of the, I guess I looked it up. I had it wrong. The version I had heard was that it's like brightest moon of the year. And it seemed moon, but I get, or it seemed bright, but and it also seemed moon. It seemed moon, man.
Thank you.
It was very like it felt like I don't know, like kind of crazy. We took a little nighttime meander through the neighborhood, and my 5-year-old son was just loudly warning the animals that they were doomed and to say goodbye because the Hunter Moon was going to make it super easy to kill them.
Is that why they call it a Hunter Moon? Because it's basically a spotlight for night hunting.
Yeah, for night stalking.
Okay, very, okay, Ramirez.
Very dark, very foreboding.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it was cool. Like the big moons, I haven't had a lot of experience going out and chasing the big moons, but that was a blast. And I also have for my underrated, like I've been talking a lot about how much Tim, what's his name?
Burton.
How much Tim Allen is the face of all things goth?
Hardaway?
Very versatile name, Tim. I hadn't even really thought about that. Allen, Burton, Hardaway.
Three Tims. That's a wild. You That's all a wild ass t-shirt.
Every man Burton, has three Allen, Tims Hardaway. Inside of him. Allen, Hardaway.
Hardaway.
The rat, the cat, the dog. The cat. But anyways, I've been talking about like how Tim Burton has the whole like goth art world, like the public imagination just like on lock to the point that like I thought that he directed the Addams Family movie. You know, everybody thinks he directed like everything that is like where people wear black. Like everyone's right. Like, oh yeah, that's a Tim Burton joint. I feel like Halloween is like, I don't know, more death and darkness. Like we just suppress the goth inside of us all year until Halloween comes around. And it makes Halloween so powerful. And I think that like that's great. But We need to embrace it more. It's just so, it's too fun. We shouldn't have just one part of the year where you can, like, we have a Halloween tree on our street and it's got like beheaded heads hanging from it with like posts through the temple.
And, like, this is the one that you're kind of like, this is a little intense.
It's a little intense, but like, it's awesome. It's like got body bags with like taped heads.
It rules.
It fucking rules, man. It's fucked, and everyone's into it because it's the one time we're allowed to just openly celebrate our inner goth, and it's, I don't know.
Is it also because, like, especially like in, I mean, Western, but like American culture is very like death phobic.
Yes,
you know, like the last thing we want to talk about is death. Last thing we want to acknowledge is that we're mortal in any fucking way.
Yeah.
So, like, is that maybe like, is it like a release valve to like kind of acknowledge it?
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. I think we spend a lot of our time suppressing that. Like when our like elders get old, we like stick them in a home so we don't have to like see them die.
And, you better not.
Yeah,
exactly. You better keep them in the house.
That's right. But we like as a culture, that is like the thing that people look at America and they're like, what the fuck?
What are you doing? Yeah, I know. Because like,
we're so scared of death.
Right, right. Yeah, and like even like with my family, like everybody's like, nah, you're not going no fucking home.
No.
It's like, all right, you live in this room now. Here we go. But yeah, and it's such a huge cost too. It's really wild.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I'm sure we'll talk about that because that's a huge factor in American life is the cost of just getting old.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah.
And like,
I mean, it's,
you can see it like busting out in other holidays, like Easter. They're like these weird Christian groups that turn Easter into like a torture porn anti-Semitic like
right thing. Horror show.
Yeah, horror show. Yeah. They call it the passion play. But it's just like people are just so like they have this submerged horniness for death. And I think it's great that we get to celebrate it at least around Halloween. but it feels unhealthy that it's like completely 100% suppressed the rest of the year.
I mean, because if you're fighting against the reality that our time is limited,
yes,
you're going to be completely consumed by running away, and you'll never actually be able to like embrace like the here and now.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know,
exactly.
But hey, what do we know?
I don't know shit, it turns out.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
second ago, yeah, you said I had the case of the Mondays.
Yeah.
And I had to play that clip to set the record straight.
You got a case of the Mondays. All right. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back with our overrated and some news.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
And we're back. And what's something you think is overrated, Miles?
Overrated. Two things. First, shaming people for liking candy
corn. Thank you.
Now, it's well documented that I'm not with the corns.
Well documented.
Okay, it's well documented. But I don't care if people like candy corn. And I say this because I was at like a Halloween sort of like race, like 10 5K thing that you can like kind of walk and just kind of talk with your friends. And a buddy of mine was like, people wear costumes. He dressed up as a gigantic candy corn.
Okay.
And he had all these like, you know, bags of candy corn, like sealed bags of candy corn, that like his suit was so big he could just like produce a bag of candy corn and like then like, you know, dole it out.
Amazing.
To people. These teenagers were like, they were screaming at him from the sides, were like, man, fuck candy corn. It was so fucked. It was so aggressive. And we're like, yo, chill, man, what the fuck? And they're like, boo, we don't like candy corn.
Yeah.
And it's like, all right, asshole.
Damn.
And I was like, part of me like, didn't want to go further with these teenagers. But when I saw that, I was like, look, we gotta draw the line somewhere.
Yeah,
like,
man.
This person is just trying to spread joy through their over-sugared treats and dressing in costume. So I think that, Just shut the fuck up. You know what I mean? It's not constructive.
Yeah.
If you don't like it, then you don't like it.
Settle the fuck
down. The world would be a better place if we could just shut the fuck up.
Do you not like sugar and butter? Like, that's what it tastes like to me. It's just sugary butter.
It's hardened cream.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Hardened icing.
And then the other thing I think is overrated is just, again, it's the Geistchild's first Halloween.
Yeah.
We inherited a shitload of fucking bag costumes for babies. I'm going to say overrated is how quote unquote safe these fucking kids' costumes are.
And by bag costumes, you mean they're like costumes that are made of unbreathable bags.
Yeah, exactly. By that I mean,
garbage costumes made of garbage
construction,
bags.
Construction garbage bags. That's right. That way you can't poke your fingers through it. They are fucking tough.
Yes.
But like, they are made of such synthetic materials. Like, I'm pretty sure this like Pinocchio costume was gonna start smoking just in the sunlight. It just felt so fucking, and it like reeks of petroleum. Like some of these things, it was just part of me was felt very, I don't know, like suddenly I was like, I don't know, this is safe.
Reeks of petroleum.
It just felt chemically made, yeah. Not like this is like the most unsafe fabrics. And I guess that's how you probably get a fucking costume down to like $15 or whatever. But shit.
Yeah.
It was to the point where I'm like, no, I can't even have you near like an LED light bulb with this. I feel like something could happen.
Yeah. I ordered a costume from China, a Jedi costume, and it came out of that. I was like, what is that smell? Like, why does this smell so much like chemicals? And I think you're right. Because 100% made of solidified gasoline that would just
of course.
A single spark.
They're like cotton. You know how much that costs? Yeah. Come on.
Fuck,
it's old
here.
Tires that we just turned into fabric. You got a Jedi costume?
Got a Jedi costume. We did it. We're doing a whole Star Wars this year. Last year was Spider-Man. And the eldest.
What's your eldest?
He's going as a stormtrooper.
Shit.
And he's got little shoulder patches that can switch up the rank that he's very excited about. And I don't think he understands that nobody's going to give a shit about that. But
well, if I saw the orange one out, I'd say, okay, sir.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Salute.
But yeah, it's, and then my youngest, of course, has backed out of wanting to be part of the Star Wars thing. And he's just going to be a ninja. But
he's going to be a baseball player. I love that.
What's
your overrated?
My overrated is related to this. Halloween costumes that don't have built-in muscles are overrated and bullshit.
Shit.
Man. All right. I've been doing the superhero costume for years now. Batman costumes.
Yeah.
Built-in muscles. They make me look big, strong. Like big, strong boy.
Yeah, of course.
I got a Jedi costume. It's just my body in there.
It's just my body in there.
I gotta tell you, I don't fucking like it, Miles.
Oh, shit.
My kids are not impressed. I guess the muscles were doing a lot of the work for those previous costumes.
Yeah, for sure.
And
they give you a glimpse.
Yeah, I guess it's like, again, it's like, you know, Halloween is just holding up a lot of, there's just a lot of pressure. We're putting a lot of weight on Halloween. Like, it's the one time we get to like wear masks for, you know, regularly. Yeah. Like mask work is an important thing that like in many cultures, like mask celebrations, getting to like dress up. There were like all these holidays and indigenous cultures where like you would get to pretend to be your boss or like switch jobs with your boss and like wear masks. And it's important. We're like putting it all on Halloween. And I want my body to be in a mask that makes me look big, strong.
Because I'm not going to do the work. But I want the cause. Give me a glimpse. Give me a taste.
Yeah. This also gives me like an idea of what body modification would do for me. And
I like that you call simply working out a ton
body mod.
like that's the key to it. Like, you actually need to put a couple like rubber plates under my skin to make it look like my shoulders are fucking like on some Superman shit.
Yeah.
I saw a little kid wearing like a buff like costume, and I was like, periphery. Yeah. Oh, this kid was goosed. He's wearing a goose suit. But this goose suit was so like well made.
Yeah.
I kept double taking. I'm like, yo, this kid is fucking ripped. And then I'm like, God, it's that cop costume. It has gigantic muscles, but it's just so. It's interesting how a costume does. Yeah, it does give you that first like, wait, hold on now.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Costume.
Just generally, like people. Again, maybe we just adopt this into our day to day lives. Do you remember the first time Dre came out when he was like shredded?
Buff.
And yeah, it was like at a like some award show or something. He came out and he was wearing like a black long sleeve like t-shirt. And
yeah, that you're describing him every time he goes out.
Yeah.
He's always wearing like those skin tight black long sleeves.
Yeah. I was like, man, he's like, is he wearing a muscle shirt? I feel like it's such an audacious move that to wear, you could get away with it. Nobody would know. Everyone would be like, what the fuck? Okay. This guy is shredded.
Just do that pull up with just three, like just a gang of fools wearing goose suits and just see if you just change the energy in the room.
Yeah. Oh, I bet you would, right?
Yeah, until someone comes up and they're like, let me feel, and they're like, what the fuck? You're like, pillows.
Shut up.
Please, just don't say anything. They got goose suits on. I told you
it was a goose suit.
These guys are goosed.
All right.
Oh, man.
That's what's going on with us. What's going on with everybody else? Bad times for Mike Pence.
Yeah. Sorry, Mike. He's suspended. The poor one out for the white-haired one.
Oh, he just suspended it? Oh, he's probably going to be back, right?
Yeah.
No, it's just a temporary.
Like, I need to take a five on
taking
on
a knee real quick.
Yeah. Coming back. Just recharge, man. Take a breather. But yeah, sure. We knew the troubles were mounting up. He didn't have money. He was barely like getting into the range he needed to make the next debate. And I think we all knew this, except for Mike Pence and maybe all the consultants he was paying.
Yeah.
That he was not even going to make anything that resembled a challenge.
Right.
In the primary. So there it is. And then the fun little punctuation on that is like Trump is like saying that Pence should endorse him now.
God damn. He's funny.
He's just been fucking dragging his ass across the fucking earth. And now you want the endorsement.
That is very funny.
Yeah. The other thing, the 14th Amendment insurrection disqualification trials are starting this week, where in Minnesota and Colorado, there are lawsuits being brought to the court that are beginning this week that are essentially trying to disqualify Trump from being on the ballot under the 14th Amendment, like the insurrection clause because of January 6th. They're saying this disqualifies him from running for office. No matter what direction they go, let's presume they are in favor of keeping him off the ballot. It will immediately be appealed to the Supreme Court, aka Clarence Thomas's Insurrection Clown Court. Yeah. So let's
best
not hold our breath.
Best case scenario, this is decided by the Supreme Court.
And maybe their ruling does give better definition for the future. But at this point, he's already going to get away with this one, and. Who knows?
Haven't they already said they're not going to like weigh in on whether he can be on the ballot, or at least in one specific instance, they were like, we're not going to bring
that. I think someone was trying to take that immediately to the Supreme Court to be heard, and they declined. So the only way now, like, it's the appeal.
Fuck out of here.
Please. Yeah, they're like, don't bring us into this. Like, did you just hear about my wife Ginny and all the shit that she's caught up in? Please. And the RV that no one knows how the debt was forgiven.
Does Freezing Cold Takes, you know that Twitter account, Freezing Cold Takes, where like when something happens in sports, they go back and find all the just bullshit takes from, do they do politics, or is there a version of them for politics?
I don't know if there's an official account, but I mean, I feel like that is like a version of Twitter back and banter. That's like the,
God,
I want to
see the Wall Street Journal. Like somebody needs to go back and find the Pence is running and... everyone's scared and Biden's scared that donors are excited, which is definitely true, but some of those articles really were taking his candidacy seriously at a time
the guy was a fucking he was a sitting congressman, he was a fucking governor, he's a fucking vice president. Like, you've got, like, that's the shit you want to have to kick off a presidential run.
And just allergic to anything resembling, like, political charisma.
Yeah, and again, his DNA is best foods mayo, so he just wasn't gonna really be appealing to many people. It just, it is what it is. Yeah. But hey, Mike, just go and you and mother go right off into the sunset or something.
Just have a good, clearly this is big news for the world of fucking venture capital and private equity. You know, this dude is going to be big, big player, big chess piece.
Could you imagine? He couldn't even get a consulting gig after this.
Yeah.
Like the revolving door is like broken for him.
Yeah. He just gets stuck in there.
Like, let me out. They're like, sorry, dude.
Sorry, man. You're kind of embarrassing everyone.
Yeah.
All right. A big RIP to Matthew Perry from Friends, who passed away this weekend tragically at the way too young age of 54 from an apparent drowning at his home. And a big go fuck yourselves to anti-vaxxers who...
They're trying to claim this one, huh?
Oh, yeah. Like, immediately. Because... Yeah. He had a t-shirt that he wore that said, could I be any more vaccinated, when, you know, celebrities were trying to do their part to get people not scared and like interested in the vaccine.
Is that like a Chandler catchphrase?
Could I be any more? Yeah. Like that was his, I mean, the vaccine part.
he's been saying that since episode one. Yeah.
Could I be any more vaccinated? No, but yeah, that's like the tone of a lot of his jokes.
Right.
I'm sure it's one of those things like where we remember him saying it more than he actually said, like the exact words, could I be any more? But, you know, it is certainly the vibe of the character.
Yeah.
And yeah, Candace Taylor, a former Republican candidate for governor of Georgia and current GOP chair of Georgia's first congressional district, who also recently compared Taylor Swift to Satan, said that blamed the actor's death on being vaccinated for COVID-19. Anti-vaxxers edited his Wikipedia page to state, it is unclear whether the drowning was due to complications from the COVID-19 vaccine.
That is such a fucking dumb, it's like, addendum.
Yeah.
Like, to add, like, it's just so funny. It's obvious, you could say it's unclear about anything.
Yeah.
You could say it's unclear whether his drowning was due to, you know, complications with his Hulu subscription.
Yeah. Fallout from the JFK assassination conspiracy. Unclear.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Or complications from 9/11.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Unclear, you know,
like
if it was related to 9/11.
How long was it?
I'm not
going
to blame it all on 9/11. I don't know. It got taken down.
Probably, yeah. Long enough that people noticed.
And then right wing influencer Matt Wallace posted a theory that Matthew Perry died because of the vaccine. But 2 hours earlier, he had floated the idea that he was secretly murdered because he was about to reveal the truth about pedo wood. So this is another right-wing Matt who we have to keep an eye on. These motherfuckers.
That is so wild that 1 second you're this. Actually, it's probably the vaccine. Actually, it could be the pedophile. Yeah.
I'm just putting ideas out there.
But just asking the questions. You know what I mean?
He was coming off, like, his memoir is full of him being like, it's a miracle I'm alive. I have like so many medical issues. It's, you know.
Like one of those excerpts, I was blown away about when he was on the set of Don't Look Up.
Yeah. And had to be basically, he was put on a thing called ECMO machine, which does all the breathing for your heart and your lungs. It's called a Hail Mary. No one survives that. In late 2020, he had to pull out of filming a cameo in Adam McKay's climate change satire, Don't Look Up, after his heart stopped for 5 minutes and his ribs had to be broken to resuscitate him, he detailed in his memoir.
That is fucking so grim, man.
Yeah. Oof. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Onward and upward. I hope you were having peace, because it does not sound like it was a very easy time with all those, I mean, with, you know, especially with all the drug use and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah, he struggled.
But it wasn't the vaccine.
Turns out.
You losers.
Yeah. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Class is in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
And we're back.
Mm-hmm.
Real quick side tangent. Sorry, from the Matthew Perry article. I didn't want to bring it up like as we were talking about his death, but
just do it moments later. Yeah.
after the break.
Yeah.
Have you noticed that like copy editing is getting
terrible?
It's so bad right now. Like I was going, so there's this article about the t-shirt that he wore, Could I Be Anymore? The t-shirt itself that he's wearing is Could I Be Any Space More? Like, could I be any more
any
vaccinated?
More, yes.
The article that is about this in The Independent, like not a, it's not like some random blog. It's in The Independent, and they've changed it to Could I Be Any More, one word. It's a weirdly rephrased Hamlet monologue. Like,
could I be anymore,
or could I be anymore?
Yeah,
but it's wild. I blame AI for somehow.
The amount of misspellings I see is kind of like, because it used to be one of those things like you'd see them and you'd be like, oh,
yeah,
like
someone's, I remember, getting fired. Dude,
in college, I would fucking like email the website.
Yeah,
I was insufferable. I'm sorry. I would be like, you actually wrote like this is misspelled. And be like, it's still there. But there's so many things now that are like frequently misspelled that sometimes I'm like wondering if I know the difference between affect or effect or things like that.
Yeah.
And I'm totally, like, it happens. But I'm guessing this is probably part and parcel to the lack of proper funding
in
the journalistic field.
This is an article in The Independent that goes out of its way to introduce a typo to like degrade the copy editing work done by the self-printed t-shirt industry. I feel like I might just be getting old, like, but I feel like it's also just getting fucking worse and worse.
Yeah, well, because then a part of me is like sort of like, why was it drilled into me to be able to see these grammatical errors or whatever and have to learn proper composition of the English language when it just falling apart? But you know, whatever, we got, I'm busy trying to avoid death, man.
Yeah, just avoid thinking about it.
I feel you. That's why I don't even want to think about anymore, even like the idea of the concept of the word anymore. It just links too much.
Could I be anymore?
There's a finality to it.
So it was a horrifying weekend of violence in Gaza. Israel just relentlessly bombing, starting the ground invasion, and just horrific conditions for the Palestinian people in Gaza, to the point that nobody can communicate. There's a good chance that like many of the people are not alive, but there's no electricity or communication networks. And so all these accounts are like falling silent.
I think they only the administrative body within Gaza that is there to keep up like their telecommunications said things were slowly coming back online.
Yeah.
But yeah, there was like a full on like nearly 24 hour, a little bit more period where they were like, we couldn't get to anybody.
Yeah.
Like if people were calling for emergency services, there was just nothing that could be done.
Yeah.
Just another horrible dimension to the already numerous horrible dimensions to what is happening there right now.
Yeah. With so many people in emergency need of help at this point, not being able to communicate at all is just horrifying.
Yeah.
What? There's also, it was a huge weekend for peaceful protests calling for a ceasefire in Gaza. On Friday in New York, Jewish Voices for Peace took over Grand Central Station. Raf Shimanov was there. Our guest from last Tuesday's episode. And it was just massive. I mean, it was really impressive to see.
And also how swiftly they get arrested.
Yeah.
Is really, it's wild. Yeah. When you're out there, trying to protest against state violence, they'll get their act together real quick.
Yeah. Yeah.
I couldn't believe like that.
Suddenly moves as like a swift battalion.
Yeah. They're like, what about all the other, nah, we get it. You guys play, you know who to disrupt and who to encourage. We get it. But like, yeah, seeing the sort of like the line of protesters that had been taken into custody was really something to see, like just the sheer amount of people that they took in.
One of the biggest was in London, where I don't know if you saw like some of the aerial shots from London. But you know, one guy on social media was like, London now, this is horrifying. How are Jews meant to stay in the UK?
Who is in that group of people that you're talking like about?
Must have been especially scary for the ones who were at the peaceful protest organizing it. Imagine how horrifying it must have been for them.
Well, this is just part of that rhetoric that's trying to conflate people's opposition to the Israeli government and their policies with the entire religion of Judaism.
Yes, exactly.
And this is just, oh my God. And like, it's like we said, even like a week or two ago, the indiscriminate killing of innocent people isn't going to make anyone safer.
No.
It is just creating like a mass radicalizing event that people are not also coming to grips with. And it's like really fucked. Like the fact that the White House is also failing spectacularly
so
right
bad.
Now.
Yeah.
And as are most like colonial powers in the world. But with the U.S., there is a close relationship with Israel that the administration is trying to act like kind of isn't there.
Yeah.
There were like statements coming out of the administration when they're talking about the ground invasion or what they're saying is like now, or they call it the second phase because they don't want to call it a ground invasion for like rhetorical purposes.
And the media like, is just lining up with that. They're like, Netanyahu calls it the second phase. So that's what we're calling it now. Yeah.
It's a ground invasion. Yes. And it's going to whatever, and more
it's
bodies are going
so
to be
many
destroyed
people on both sides. Yeah,
yeah. And then you have like the White House saying stuff like, "Look, any military action that is happening in Gaza, look, that's a decision made by the Israeli government and no one else,
using our weapons and our financial support."
100%.
Yeah.
So rather than actually forcefully trying to use the leverage that the United States government has, to at the very least stop the military action, let alone, you know, what should come after that. They're just trying to pull the fucking Mariah Carey, like, oh, I don't know her.
Yeah. Yeah.
For real? This is, and Biden is putting, this is what makes me really fucking nervous, right? Because we're talking about how Trump could very much win again in 2024. And Biden is putting himself in a real shitty spot. Like, there's billions of dollars flowing out of the country and into munitions makers and weapons makers pockets. And the very people he is relying on to vote for him are screaming for things like a ceasefire and to address, like, you know, the high cost of living in the United States. And meanwhile, we're just hearing stuff like Janet Yellen being like, we can afford like multiple wars. The United States is fine, like fiscally, to handle all these wars. But we're also talking about people who are destitute, like within the country. So, yeah, this is just, it's all swirling in a very, very shitty cloud that it's, yeah, just gets worse and worse.
I mean, the U.S. makes money off of multiple, off of wars, you know, so.
Yeah, like six guys do.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly, right. The U.S. makes money off of six guys who are well connected.
And meanwhile, we're stuck with the horror of it all.
There's a horrifying weekend for mass shootings in the U.S. So the main shooter was found dead. But meanwhile, 11 other people were killed in mass shootings over the weekend at parties, at bars, at, you know, Halloween house parties. It's just, when there are this many guns, this is what happens. I guess when you look at the stats, like a lot of the mass shootings are happening at like houses. People are like in households.
That's like conflict. It's like beef.
Yeah.
That's getting resolved with guns. Yeah. And then there's just a ton of people caught in the crossfire.
Yeah, exactly. But anyways, this is going to keep happening until we're able to get guns like pulled out of communities the way Australia did after one mass shooting. And I know everybody thinks that's wildly unrealistic, but I do think many years into the future, we will look back at the conditions we're living under as just, you know,
like y'all were
unrealistic.
Y'all were just doing that?
Yeah.
Hold on. Your babies were in flammable costumes and there were fucking firearms laying about.
There were just guns everywhere. Fuck? While the kids were like, yeah.
Yeah.
God. Yeah. Like all of the costumes and a lot of the clothes, like a lot of the pajamas that I've bought for my children, like plastic, still come with like a label on them that I think it's much fewer than when I was a kid, but like,
oh yeah, when we were kids, they were like
this thing is made of gasoline.
Don't even watch Backdraft while wearing this.
Actually some kindling in there for some reason. We like have some kindling woven into the fabric for some reason. Yeah,
you for a can't even feel.
Watch Backdraft in the household when your child is wearing this. But yeah, they're still, you know, rocking with the flammable as hell stuff. All right, a couple movie updates. First of all, Five Nights at Freddy's, baby. Five Nights at Freddy's. That's all.
Did
I'm
do Boffo?
Say. Did Boffo, Miles?
Five Night Freddy did
Five
Boffo?
Five Night Freddy did Boffo B.O. Despite the negative reviews, which
26% on Rotten.
Yes.
Ugh.
Even lower.
The fans. Fans are out.
Fans are out for this one. But yeah, shattered expectation. A North American box office debut of 80 million in North America. 130 Woo. Million globally. Like I thought I would have expected, like, man, they overperformed and made 30 million. But 80 million, that's a lot of money for something that is very confusing to me. But I do think,
I think it's
tapping into both the video game fans and also Jamie Loftus is, you know, she's been talking about the Chuck E. Cheese animatronics and their creepiness for a long time. She's always tapped into the zeitgeist, I feel like.
I think it's also like a perfect thing to watch like on because this is Halloween weekend, you know?
Yeah.
And like all the other stuff, like Saw and I think The Exorcist already came out, right? Like in previous weeks.
Yeah.
So maybe this is like a perfect thing where it's like a new thing to watch.
Yeah.
But yeah, shout out to everybody who went Five Night Freddy.
Yeah. Shout out to all the Five Night Freddy's. Yeah.
For people who went, did you go and you're like, oh, hell yeah. If you're like me and you only have a cursory knowledge of it, did you fuck with it? Let us know, Zyke Gang.
The Clips actually looked pretty fun, I gotta say. But
the what did?
The Clips. Like the every time I saw a clip, I was like, okay. You have my attention.
I mean, even if it's good, probably won't see it because I'm not really fucking with horror. But hey.
Yeah.
If enough people, if five people, if I hear it five times.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I will do five knife at Freddy.
That's right. That is the, and you have to. That's the rule that the witch has cursed us with. Maybe that witch curse is actually helping it at the box office. But it's already surpassed like Halloween Ends and Halloween Kills, which were like pretty big hits, like pretty big horror hits. And this one is.
I think this is where you can't discount the number of fans there are of the franchise. Whereas like those other Halloween movies kind of come like it's an established thing.
Yeah.
Where I think there's just that energy. People want the knife.
Yeah. 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 People want the knife.
Fire Five Nights.
I want the knife so I could have big muscles.
Oh, hell yeah. Remember the knife, the band?
Yeah. They were pretty all right, man. They were a little bit all right. I also think we're just in a new era when like hot video game movies for a long time. Like obvious, like in the same way that like you look back at some of the early comic book movies and it's like they feel like a need to be like wham pow and like make it silly and dumb because they, you know, that's how adults think about comic book movies. Like I think we're seeing a similar thing where like video game movies for a while were like nobody sees these, they're always terrible. And now, even though they may still be a little bit terrible, they have come around and like we're seeing like massive returns, like from the Mario movie, from the Sonic movies, from even Five Knife Freddy's. So
yeah,
Killers of the Flower Moon is still doing fairly well. But there is a controversy because so it runs for, it comes in at 3.5 hours.
3:34, I think, right?
Yeah. When as I mentioned, my parents are in town. My parents and but usually when my dad's in town, he's a movie fan. We'll usually catch something. I still remember him coming out and visiting me one time, and we watched both Sicario and Johnny Depp's Black Mass in like back to back. just two dad movies.
Hell yeah.
But
back to back.
He was like, let's see Killers of the Flower Moon. I was like, hell yeah, wait a second. This is 3 hours and 34 minutes, man. You're
3 hours 26. Sorry.
My bad.
No, I said
although
it.
You
I
have to
that
stay
errant
for,
number.
For the critic, through the credits to see the secret scene at the end.
Right.
But where it was all so some theaters are adding unauthorized intermissions, which makes fucking sense to me.
Totally.
Yeah. And a Colorado theater like put up a sign being like, hey, we will give you an intermission in this screening. And it caught the attention of the studio. And they were like, you must not. And you may not. And made them pull it down.
Oh, God forbid. Like at an hour and 45 minutes in, they're like, hey, you guys need a second for the next hour and 45 minutes.
Right. Yeah.
Cause I mean, I like when I saw Oppenheimer, I knew it was long and I didn't do my usual thing where I drink like a gigantic vat of cherry Coke,
yeah,
like in the movie theater, yeah, because I was like trying to be conscious of the fact that like, I might have to go pee pee,
yeah,
and I don't want to miss the cool scenes. But yeah, I think like, I remember hearing this over the weekend, people were talking about this and I was like, yeah, that's fine. And also I'm sure the theaters would probably love that because that mean let's all go to the lobby.
Let's all go
spend
to the
some
lobby.
Fucking cash.
Yeah. That makes sense to me. European theaters are doing it. South American theaters are doing it. American theaters were doing it and have now been asked to stop, but it's, yeah, like an anonymous theater employee they interviewed and was like, people, you know, Scorsese might not like it, but the customers really fucking liked it. They, in fact, were saying, man, this reminds me of how much I would have enjoyed this during Oppenheimer.
Exactly.
Intermissions are like they give you a little moment to, like, I still remember where the tape. You know how Scarface was broken over two tapes when you rented it? Like, I still remember like what the first scene back on tape two. I feel like it gets you another round of like attention. I don't know. Like you're lulled into complacency if you have a little intermission, get to like go out, come back. I'm a
yeah, fan. And you can digest what you've just seen. Yeah. Like anytime I went to the theater and there's an intermission, you take a second, you're like, oh yeah, that person's good. What'd you think of this? Okay. And then you can sit back down and you're refreshed because, man, ever since high school, like I cannot be in a darkened room sitting down for too long or else my body starts shutdown sequence.
Yes.
Like even if I'm well rested, they'll be like, bro, this is like a comfy situation.
Bo, this is Betty Bye time and you are going sleepy bye.
I'm going night nights right now.
Sleepy pie, night night face.
So I would 100% would embrace that. But also, I'm the kind of person who's like completely put off by seeing something go over 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
That I'm like, oh fuck! Like I'll literally be like, fuck that! I'm not even gonna watch that.
Fuck
like
I can't even
fucking do it.
Yeah.
So I never feel
like
seen
this
Titanic.
Used to be like a you've never really.
No, of course I haven't. It's just like just read a lot about it. Yeah. So I kind of know everything that's going on in it.
I feel like they used to have more theater like movies with intermissions. Like I feel like that used to be the standard, and they would have like little cartoons that played in between that told you where to spend money.
I can't remember. Yeah, I mean, like I said, I don't even remember. And the ones I go to, there wouldn't be an intermission because they're 90 minutes.
That's right. All right. Well, those are some of the things that are trending on this Monday, October 30th, day before All Hallows Eve. Enjoy your Halloween parties. Enjoy getting ready for trick-or-treating. We are back tomorrow with a whole ass episode of the show. Until then, be kind to each other, be kind to yourselves, get the vaccine, don't do nothing about white supremacy, and we will talk to y'all tomorrow. Bye.
Bye.
Zeit gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.